I'd like you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. This is going to be really different. I have not really preached like this before. I would say, if you have ears to hear, you will act upon this word like you never have before. If you have ears to hear, my preach is starting to come on me, so let me say this. Your Christianity must be more than Sunday event. It must be a life lived surrendered to your Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? It cannot be. This cannot be the reason you live and move and have your being as a Sunday event. Jesus is living, active, moving 24/7. And he's looking for people who will follow him. Okay? To no matter where he calls us, we will go. And I want to start by reading from Acts chapter 4 and 5. And then I'm going to take a little twist into what's happening in Canada. And then I'm going to go back to the scripture. You will, if you know this chapter, in Acts chapter 3, John and Peter go up to the temple, and there's a man begging there. And he begs for money, which we have lots of people out in our day begging for money. And he's crippled, and he's been crippled from birth. And they would take him to the temple so he could beg for donations and possibly survive. And I don't know who got the money, whether the people that brought him or he did. But, you know, they're walking up to the temple going to worship the Lord. And they meet this guy who's there crippled. And he says, "Can I have some money?" And Peter says, "I don't have any money. I have nothing to give you. But here's what I got. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." So he said, "Wow, gee, Paul, Peter, all these guys are incredible." Yeah, because they're filled with Holy Spirit. They just got filled with Holy Spirit, and they've been baptized in Holy Spirit, and they're not the same anymore. Okay? They're fearless. This is, friends, I want you to see this. If you get nothing out of this, I want you to see this. Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit are anointed and appointed to preach Christ. Fearlessly, boldly proclaim Christ. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, the goal is not to speak in tongues. The goal of Holy Spirit is to send you out. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Okay? You will go and literally die for my sake. That's what the word martyr means there. Witness. Have you got that?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, yes, he gives you amazing gifts, including tongues, but that's not the purpose of Holy Spirit. The purpose of Holy Spirit is to get you out of your comfort zone, give you boldness to preach Christ. Okay? So, they do this. They raise this guy up, they heal him, and praise God, everybody goes, "This is amazing." He starts and he's jumping and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And this amazing reaction leads to Peter preaching an amazing sermon about Jesus, the Holy and Righteous One, the Prince of Life. And he goes through and he preaches, and people are coming to Jesus, and we're told in chapter 4, 5,000 people responded. We don't know if that's 5,000, including the 3,000 that just are a brand new 5,000. Either way, there's a huge response to the preaching of the person of Jesus Christ. Real preaching, okay? You're guilty of your sins. You crucified him. You need to repent. This is your Savior, your Messiah. You need to repent. He's not holding back, okay? He's letting them have it. So what happens? Opposition rises up. Chapter 4, verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching, verse 2, and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. They're arrested and thrown in jail for preaching Christ, okay? For really preaching Christ, the truth of the gospel. Let's jump to verse 19. They're released. And verse 17 says they're told not to speak anymore in this name of Jesus. Peter says, Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. Verse 20, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. We cannot stop speaking. We cannot stop speaking. My life is totally transformed. I've experienced Jesus firsthand. I cannot stop talking about Jesus. Why? Because all these people need Jesus. I have such a conviction that I will not stop talking about Jesus. No matter what happens to me. Go to chapter 5 and verse 28. They're arrested again. And verse 28, they say, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter says, we must obey God rather than men. He says the same thing. The same thing. We must obey God rather than men. In verse 19, you decide if it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God. Should we obey you or should we obey God? That's the question. That's the question on the table this morning. Okay? I titled the sermon, An Attempt to Silence. Let me jump to 2024 in Canada. I don't know where you live. If you live in the reality of what's happening in Canada, maybe you stick your head in the sand and say, oh, well, I'm just waiting for Jesus to get me off planet Earth and that'll be fine. And I don't want to get involved in politics. I don't either. I don't like politics. But what's happening is because so many Christians are saying, I don't want to get involved in politics, those who are running politics are getting involved in our lives and telling us what to do and what to say and how to act. And so I want to just enlighten you a little bit this morning, reminding you of our calling to preach Christ, unashamedly preach Christ, to obey God. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay, that's a command. Last time I checked, that's imperative tense. That's a command to go and preach Christ. Every follower of Jesus must preach Christ because God loves the world so much, he wants the world to know his son, just like we have. That's why he saved us, to go and declare. How many of you have lived through COVID? How many of you have had your eyes open to see what COVID's really about? Okay. I'm just going to preach what the Lord put on my heart, because this message, if it's in the wrong hands, could lead to some serious consequences, but praise God. We are under a regime in Canada, under the Trudeau government. And the word that people are using is totalitarianism, which literally is the control or power is centralized in the hands of one person or a very small group of people. And they have total control over all aspects of society, economy, politics, media, education, and people's lives. Okay? Now, if you're an ostrich and have stuck your head in the sand, you're probably not aware of how that totalitarian reality that's now in Canada has been manifesting. But COVID has introduced into Canada, among other things, because of a mass hysteria and mass fear, and dare we say a mass psychosis, which is actually anxiety and hysteria combined, okay? See, this is not my normal preaching, but God really laid this on my heart that I need to share what's really going on in Canada, okay? And if you know me, I don't like preaching sermons like this, but I had four different confirmations of people sending me stuff, emails, things to listen to, which happens regularly, but rarely does it say, I just got this word in Acts chapter 4 and 5, and then I start getting all these things about what's happening in Canada and what a lot of us are not aware of. COVID was, I believe, a manufactured, fabricated pandemic to invoke fear in people. What does fear do in people? And why is COVID compared to Nazi Germany? because you convince a people that this group of people are bad, and they will affect your future if you don't deal with them. Okay? And so what has happened is, if we create this pandemic, we cause people fear and anxiety. Okay? And people need to respond. And they respond by obeying the government at hand, who's ever. They're totally dependent. The government's going to get us out of this. And so what happens is, they allow the government to tell them what to do. And you know how that has applied in all of this, right? How the government has told us we need to wear masks, we can't go there, we have to close churches, we have to do all this stuff, right? People bought into this. They bought into the words that the government were saying. They drank the Kool-Aid, whatever term you want to use. They have been deceived. And there has been a mass delusion. And many, many people are speaking out about this. Okay? And the government says, we know what's best for you. So here's what they've done. Because there's been so much opposition to what the government is doing, they have, under our noses, passed bills which seem to be really good on the outside. But as you start digging deeper, the government is attaching a what seems like a really good bill. They're attaching another clause to it, to the bill. And people are just seeing, like in Bill C-18 with online news, okay, which has given power to the CRTC, which is our governing body of Communications, Radio, Television Commission, who says, we will decide what Canadians should see. And so one day you're on your phone and you wake up and you're reading your news, and then all of a sudden it's not there anymore because of Bill C-18. The government has said, if you want to run Canadian news on your platform, you have to pay us hundreds of millions of dollars, and we'll allow you to do that. So people on Facebook and Instagram get up every morning, they read their news, but now Canadian news is not there anymore. Okay, that's the reality, because the government has said, we want to control what our people see. And so we don't want you putting this. And what has happened is all these small news agencies who were speaking out and speaking the truth, okay, about COVID, have all been silenced and no longer have a platform. Because if you want to run news on that platform, those people hosting the news, Facebook and Instagram, have to pay the government money, and then the government decides who gets to be on there. Are you following me? Okay? So they're limiting and controlling who decides what news is and what gets spoken to the public, okay? That's Bill C-18. Do you remember Bill C-4, conversion therapy? So Bill C-18 was in one year ago. Bill C-4 was the conversion therapy law. Do you remember that? Yeah. Where you can't talk someone out of their gender fluidity, struggle, whatever they're going through. You as a Christian cannot lead them to accept Jesus. You can't convert them away from their belief system. That was Bill C-4 in January 2022. Now, right, contrary. And many people have been speaking about this. If you know Laura Lynn Taylor Thompson, she has been. So many voices are speaking out. But here we are. I get stuff in the mail. Bill C-63. Have you heard of this bill? The Online Harms Act. Here again, it's a bill that is on the surface looks great. It's to protect children from internet harm. Okay, looks great. However, what's happening is the government is going to decide what is hate speech, because they tack this clause on underneath. They decide what is hate speech and what is allowed to be said and not said and posted online. Okay? So, I want you to think about the ramifications of this. Thankfully, this is not passed yet, but it's very close to passing. Okay, because nobody reads the fine print below all the clauses. They read the main clause, but they don't continue reading all the other clauses that the government is trying to sneak in. So, there's a clause like this, that anyone can report hate speech, okay, on their neighbor anonymously without consequence. So if I say, for instance, in Acts 4:12, where Peter says, There is one name under heaven, for there is no other name given to men by which they must be saved. There's only one way to God. His name is Jesus Christ. And my Muslim brother doesn't like that. He can file a complaint with the government and say that's hate speech because you're excluding me. You're criticizing my religion and blah, 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 goes on and on. No questions asked. You can face a $50,000 fine. You can face $20,000. You can face jail time. And it's all subjective. Okay, this is the problem with this bill. It's all subjective. Okay. You know, Lynn talked about Israel and what's happening. If you're following the news at all, you know what's happening. When the attack happened October 10th, 7th, it was, wow, look at these poor Israelites. Like, they are attacked and it's been ongoing, and we can't believe this has happened, and they have a right to defend themselves. And now, because of the propaganda that's coming out of there, you know, the whole tide has switched. We have protests all around the world against the Jewish people. And so we really, many people are saying, we haven't seen this kind of anti-Semitism since 1940s, right? Or 1930s. When the same thing, these people are bad, we need to get rid of these people. These people are bad, the Christians are bad, their Bible's bad, it advocates all this, it advocates one way, it's preaching a different God, it's preaching this, and it's a contrary to what we say, it's calling homosexuality wrong, and it's going against what we believe. We must silence them. That's basically what these bills are designed to do. Are you following this? Okay? Because you need to decide, and you're going to come up against it, what is happening in Canada? Alberto and I used to meet, and we used to discuss what's going on economically and socially and the control that the government is putting on people and taking their finances. And we saw this during the trucker convoys where they were taking, seizing bank accounts and everything. Friends, I just want you to wake up. I'm not here to, this is not a political sermon. I'm trying to open your eyes to see that there is a spiritual battle going on. And it will not be long before you will not be able to share Christ anymore. And you will have to decide today whom you're going to serve and what you're going to say to people. If you're going to go around hiding and pretending, I'm a Christian, but you know what, all religions lead to God and blah, blah, blah. No, there's only one way. We have a very exclusive, offensive message. Okay, Jesus didn't come to bring peace, he came to bring a sword. And so you need to decide, am I going to take up the sword of the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God and bring it to bear on people's lives? Because I love the world so much, as God does, that I want people to come to know Jesus. Okay? So that's where I'm at. So let's go back to chapter 4 of Acts. I just want to show you some... There's one message. Okay? They are preaching Christ. And immediately upon preaching Christ and all these people following, they are really upset. Who are upset? The religious people, the leaders of the day. There's opposition. They arrest them. They throw them in jail, verse 3. God is still working. Okay, they get arrested for preaching Christ. They're let out. In verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders, verse 8, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. Okay? It's Christ. It's all Christ. I'm unashamedly preaching Christ. And here's the conviction. He's got absolute conviction, verse 12. There's no other name that needs to be preached. There's no other message. There's no other religion. I need to preach Christ. I've been called for that. That's what I'm called to do. That's what I'm going to do. Okay? Verse 13 is phenomenal. All the leaders are listening to him rant and rave about Jesus, and they say now, as they observe the confidence, which is literally freedom. That's the word, freedom. Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated, untrained men. They were marveling and began to recognize him as having been with Jesus. The outflow of being with Jesus is this desire to want to tell people about Jesus. Unashamedly, whatever the restrictions are, no matter what bill the government's passed, I have to tell people about Jesus. Okay? That's where you need to decide this morning. Is that where I'm at? Is that where I'm at? Will I unashamedly speak about Jesus?
Yes.
No matter the consequences. Okay? Because that is the salvation of the world. No one can get saved without hearing the gospel of Jesus. So what is their response? They forbid him to speak. And I would say, ultimately, under all these laws that Canada is trying to pass, that is their objective, is to silence the Christian right, whatever you want to call it, to stop them from preaching the truth of who God is and who Christ is. And what they do in verse 17, in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. They are going to set up a law to accuse them. If you use that name, you are committing a crime and you will suffer the consequences. Okay? You see how 2024 ties to 50, 45 AD? And of course, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, says, I can't stop preaching. You can't shut me up. Okay? So they were in jail. And verse 21, they threaten them further, but they let them go because they find no basis on which they might punish him. So what does he do? This is great. I love this guy. When they had been released, they went to their own companions, reported all that the chief priests and the elders said to them. When they heard this, they lifted their voices and with one accord said, O Lord, it is thou who dost make heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David thy servant did say, when did the Gentiles rage? Why did they rage? And the peoples devised futile things. The kings of the earth took their stand. Their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. He immediately reflects back to Scripture. And he says, here's what's going on here, guys. It's a cosmic battle. It was prophesied way back that a cosmic battle would happen. Okay? Are you seeing that? If you don't think that's happening, just jump down to 5:19. Verse 17 says, the high priest rose up along with all the associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They're like, we got to stop these guys. They're preaching. They're going to totally destroy our religion if they keep going. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail. But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of the prison and taking them out, he said, watch this. He didn't say stop preaching, guys. Be careful. Guard your tongue. Because, you know, you're going to really suffer. And he says, go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple, the whole message of this life. Okay, he says, go preach. So the earth is saying don't, and heaven is saying do. And the angel comes down and empowers them to go even more and just continue doing what I asked you to do. Okay, it's a phenomenal. So what we're facing here is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. Okay, how do you handle spiritual battle?
You pray.
You pray. Right? We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, with earthly weapons, carnal weapons. But our fight is with spiritual weapons, right? We take captive every stronghold, demolishing arguments that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. That's 2 Corinthians 10, right? That's how we do it. We realize there's an enemy, there's a spiritual enemy, and the only way we can defeat him is through prayer. And continuing to do, we defeat Satan, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives even unto death. Okay? We continue to preach. We continue to do what God has called us to do because we don't answer to the civil servants.
Right.
We answer to God. God first. Okay? When you take that stand for us, there's going to be consequences. You have to ask yourself this morning, am I going to suffer that consequence? Am I willing to suffer the consequence for preaching truth? The scripture's full of these people. Do you remember Daniel? Don't pray. Don't pray. Don't pray. Anybody else but this God. What does he do? He goes up in his room. He opens the window. 3 times a day, he prays, facing Jerusalem. Well, that's Daniel. He's extreme. He's a little radical. You know, he doesn't really represent us. Okay, well, here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just ordinary blokes, you know. And you got to bow down to this God. We can't. We just can't. I'm sorry, we can't. We only serve one God. We're not bowing down to that God. Throw them in the fire. Who's in the fire with them?
Jesus
is there. Okay? Jesus is there. He's with his people when we stand for him. When we stand for him, he'll stand with us.
That's right.
Okay? Because it's a cosmic battle. Supernaturally, he can send an angel. He can make the fire not burn. He can do amazing things. You think this is only, you know, a few guys? Women, listen up. Do you remember Moses? I got to get rid of all these male babies. Midwives, Hebrew midwives. Whenever a Jewish baby is born, I want you to kill it. Drown it, do whatever you got to do. What do? This is the command from on high, from the government to the whole. We're not talking, you know, nice little democratic government. We're talking dictatorship. You don't obey, you die. We cannot obey that. We cannot obey. We can't kill babies. Okay? So they let them live. That's how Moses came to be. Which just happens to end up in the king's palace. And we'll get into, should I lie to preserve the work of Christ? I mean, we have to decide in our spirit, am I going to stand for Jesus or am I going to stand for the government? Right? That's where we're at today, friends. That's where we're at. And as bills continue to be passed, we're all going to have to face that reality. And I'm asking you today, have you even entertained these thoughts? I know, listen... Yeah. I said before, when you do studies on evangelism, less than 5% of Christians ever share the gospel with people. So it's not a big deal. I'm maybe talking to, you know, 5% of one or two people here. I'm talking to the rest of you. Are you going to stand for Jesus? Knowing that Jesus Christ is the only answer, that the Word of God is the only answer to this world's problems. Are you going to stand for truth and righteousness according to the Bible? And what we see in chapter 4 is a conviction. What we see in chapter 5 is a conviction. When they get together, they don't pray to stop speaking. This is so incredible. Yeah. Let's keep going in verse 4:27. Truly in the city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius. Like, everybody's against Jesus, right? So, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that we, your bondservants, your slaves, may speak your word with all boldness and confidence. Yeah. There's the prayer. In the middle of being told you can't do something, they're praying for boldness to go and do what the government said not to do. Knowing that that's going to be a real costly endeavor. All right? God blesses them. Because of that choice, what happens? When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with all boldness. There it is. There's immediate answer. Holy Spirit shows up. What's the fruit? They speak with boldness. You want to know whether you're walking in the Spirit or not? You have boldness to declare the word of God and the truth of Scripture and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's a sign. Friends, that's a real sign that you're filled with Holy Spirit according to the word of God. Chapter 5, you know, they have this, they're living this radical life and people are selling property and they're funding the work of the Lord and they're sending out apostles and prophets to do the work of the ministry. And then Ananias and Sapphira, who are selfish, they're living for themselves. We're going to jump down to verse 17, chapter 5. The high priest rose up along with all his associates because they were out there preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. The sick were being healed. Demons were being cast out. That's verse 16. Verse 17, here we are again. The high priest, the Sadducees, the leaders, filled with jealousy. Let's arrest them again. Let's throw them in jail. And that's when the angel of the Lord says, listen, I called you to preach, go preach. So they go out and preach. Upon hearing this, they entered in the temple immediately. We're free. Woohoo. We better go hide because we don't want to get arrested again. No, let's go out into the open. Let's go into the temple and start preaching again, because that's what we were told to do. Man, don't you get convicted when you read this stuff? Don't you feel like, I really fall short? Like, I fall short. Somebody gives me a wrong look, and I'm like, I don't want to talk to that guy. Lord, help us. I want that boldness. Well, what's the secret to the boldness? Holy Spirit.
Okay? It's also exciting. These men did it. I can do that. We can do that.
Yeah, I've said many times that you hear what's happening in Iran. I mean, that underground church has been persecuted for years and years. They're dying for their faith. Some of them are committing suicide because they just can't take the level of persecution they're experiencing. I mean, it's brutal. We still have the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
But what I see coming, according to all these bills that keep getting passed, is we won't have that freedom much longer. And we need to decide whom we're serving, whether it be the God of the universe or the God who sits in Ottawa. Verse 27, when they brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them. We told you, we told you, we told you, don't do this. Okay? You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Praise God. Would that be said of us? We have filled Guelph with our teaching. We filled Kitchener-Waterloo. We filled the Tri-Cities with our teaching. We filled Canada with our teaching. Oh God, would you make that happen?
Yes.
Would you raise up a generation of young people who are fearlessly proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and King? And then Peter just launches and we got to obey God. God of our fathers raised up Jesus whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. See, it's not Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. No. He's the one whom God exalted. He's the King. He's at the right hand of God. He's Prince and Savior. And he's come to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Man, I could preach on those two twice in three verses. We're told we must obey God. When they heard this, they were cut to the quick and were intending to slay them. They're so convicted, they don't want to repent, they want to kill the preachers. But Gamaliel stands up in their place, the one who Paul learned under, stands up and says, hey guys, let's just let them go. I'm sure God is doing this. Because if it really going to amount to anything, if it's wrong, God will deal with it. If it's not, even if we try to stop them, we won't stop them. That's basically what he says. So they took his advice after calling the apostles and they flogged them. They flogged them, verse 40. Ordered them to speak no more. This is what? Second, third times they said, don't speak. In the name of Jesus, don't speak that name. And they released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. What did they do? Every day in the temple, from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ.
Right.
They kept on preaching. They just kept going. They kept going. They kept going. So, this is not a political message, is it? I'm just using Canada today as an example. It's coming. It's coming. In many cases, it's already here. I have a friend, I told you before, he's facing serious consequences because he stood against the Palestinians who were protesting. Okay? He loves the Jewish people. He stood against them. He's now facing jail time. Okay? Like he's just bringing the Word of God and a biblical worldview to bear on society. And he's paying the price for it. And the question is not, listen, I don't care what happened. I don't care what the government does. I don't care. I don't belong to this world. Okay, I tell you that all the time. So don't get offended that I mentioned Trudeau or Bill C-18 or 63 or C-4. But the church has to realize we're being told what to do and what to say. Mm-hmm. We're being told when to open and not to open. Okay? And I'm sorry, but we don't answer to them. We obey God, not man. And we need to decide that. So I just encourage you. You need to, and I need to, decide. How much do I want to live for Jesus? Am I willing to die for Jesus? Am I willing to go against the current in this day and age and preach what is not popular? Preach what makes people angry? Am I willing to stand with God's people and not the devil? Am I willing to say, why are you advocating genocide? Why can one group advocate genocide and another group is just trying to defend their nation be accused of genocide? I don't understand. You see the way the demonic works? They twist and they distort and they get all kinds of people in that camp to speak against what God wants to do. We need a biblical worldview. I could just keep going because I believe a lot of us don't have that biblical worldview. We don't get involved. We don't read and say, wow, you know what? This is anti-God. What's happening is anti-God. And God has a right to defend his people. Right? Or his land.
Mm-hmm. His land.
And so I want to encourage you. Number one, get on your face, spend time with Jesus. Have him speak to you. Get in the Word and see his plan for from the beginning of creation to the end of it. When he consummates the whole thing and builds a new heaven and new earth. There's a plan. He will not be mocked. You know, Psalm 2 says, why do the nations rage and conspire against my Holy One? Why do they get so angry against Jesus? Because they can't stand his message. And if they can't stand his message, they won't stand our message because our message is his message. Yeah. Right? He said those very words. Mm-hmm. It's not that they don't like you, it's that they don't like me. Mm-hmm. And they don't like my Father in heaven. And if you see me, you've seen the Father. There's no other way. I'm it. That means every other religion and every other belief system is a lie. And that's the stand, that's the conviction that these people had in the book of Acts. And there's only one way to get there. Read the Word of God. Read where it's going. Listen to Holy Spirit. And decide for yourself whom you're going to serve. As for me, whether my house is in or not,
right.
I'm going to serve the Lord. Okay, that's the ultimate thing. Disciples did it. Where would we be without their zealous conviction and testimony? We would not be here. We would not be Christians gathered in the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, if they'd have given up. We owe it to the next generation.
Following Jesus.
It costs.
And it will cost us likely our lives, whether it's physically or cost us everything.
Relationships, jobs, you name it, it will cost.
No. And God is faithful to prepare his people, because I'm thinking about the church in Iran. And if you haven't watched Sheep Among Wolves, there's two parts, you need to watch it. I believe that was from 2013, where they went and they got testimonies from the church in Iran. Mm-hmm. And they made a decision at that time, even couples made decisions, that no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens when we go out, no matter what happens when they come into our homes, we are going to agree that we are going to follow Jesus no matter what. We're going to give up our very lives for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And even at that time, God had put on the church in Iran's heart to pray for Israel. Mm-hmm. So he's been preparing them for many years for such a time as this, right? They're prepared, right? And God is faithful because he is preparing us.
Yes.
If we allow him to prepare us and get us ready for what's to come.
That's right. Yeah. It's coming fast.
Yes.
I'm not the only voice. Praise God. There are many voices out there, and I think we saw during COVID that there were many willing to pay the cost and go to jail for what they believe the Word of God said. So.